In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to part two of our two-part interview with Liana Walenda. We are so excited to have you back and dive right back in to hear her story as she's navigating through healing and recovery of such a huge tragedy within life. But as she's working internally to overcome this adversity that she's been faced with, we get to hear how Liana may have forgotten who she was and refocusing her attention on purpose and passion and how that helped her overcome this adversity. We hope you enjoy.
But all of that's kind of a blur. I don't remember a lot of that. The moment that I remember at the hospital very vividly is I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, I'm not breathing. Oh my goodness, I'm not breathing. And I looked and my mom was in a chair and a dear friend was there sitting there. And I was like trying to go, mom, I can't breathe. But no sound was coming out. Mm-hmm. And it's the weirdest thing I thought about. This is a weird reference, but when I was a little girl, there was a Twilight Zone movie. It was a movie of like the Twilight. And one of the scenes, there was a young girl from the back staring at a TV. And when she turned around, she had like no mouth. And that, for some reason, that stuck with me.
Remember that episode.
Yes. I don't know why that stuck with me. And I felt like that. I can't breathe. I can't talk. I was like trying to get her attention. I started like kind of tapping on the bed. And they were just looking at me like they had no understanding. And I just started praying because that was the moment I was scared. That was the moment I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not breathing. I'm dying. But what I didn't realize is that I had a trach tube. I was breathing through a hole in my neck. I had a trach tube, a feeding tube. My jaw was wired shut. I have no recollection of any of that happening. So it took a while. When you're breathing through a trach tube, it doesn't feel like your lungs don't expand in quite the same way. You don't feel that air passing across your throat. It's just a weird thing. Mm-hmm. So it took me a while. But, you know, I eventually figured that out and got used to it. But that was the hardest moment in the accident. That was when I thought, oh, man, I'm dying. I'm not breathing and no one's helping me. That was something, you know.
Yeah. How long were you in the hospital?
Okay, so the doctor said originally 3 months I would be there. We were in the trauma unit. They were like 3 months with all these injuries. But, you know, I would be laying there, not be able to speak, trach tube, feeding tube, jaw wired shut. But I would do crunches in the bed because I was like, I got to keep as much strength as I can, right? I got a little boy. I know I can't do everything, but I got to keep as much strength. I had one good leg, so I'd stand up on my right leg and I'd do like mini squats, like try to, I was like, I just got to stay strong. So they'd come back and like, I don't know, she's doing pretty good. Maybe 2 months, maybe a month. They also saw I have a very supportive family, you know, and they saw that I had that. And I ended up getting out in 10 days, which isn't a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was much because they saw that I could go home to, I went to stay with my parents and they took care of me. So they knew I had the support I needed and stuff. There was that as well. But yeah, it's really a miracle.
Gosh.
But I think they saw that drive, that never give up. Like, I'm not going to lay here and give up. I'm going to do whatever I can to get back on that wire as fast as I can, or back to life as I know it, whatever that would look like after that, you know. And they saw that, those crunches in the bed and those squats and, you know, the physical therapist coming in and working with me and me going full force at it. So,
yeah. Was there ever a moment after the accident that you're like, I'm done. I'm hanging up my high wire shoes.
Or feet. Yeah, you know.
Feet. My bare feet. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
In the hospital, no. It just wasn't even a thought. Mm-hmm. It was like, no, that's what I do. That's who I am. I'm going to get back to wire walking. And, you know, I came eventually. I was home in Florida with my family for 2.5 months before I could come back home to Vegas and get back to my job and stuff. But I was like, I got picked here. And I was a coach for a high wire, these men I trained here in Vegas. So I would be on the wire with them, but it wasn't that high. It was only 8 foot high. So I'd go on the wire with them and I would train in my backyard and everything was fine. Well, my brother had asked me if I wanted to walk across Times Square with him. So I was like, yes, of course. And the time came to start training up higher with him. And the first step I took on that wire higher, I just kept seeing that image of the ground, the circus ring, getting closer and closer to my face because I have a photographic memory, you know, for certain things. And then that PTSD just hit me. I had no idea that would be something I'd be dealing with. So, you know, I would be walk that wire, but I'd be terrified, just stiff and rigid and, you know, not walking the wire the way I would train someone to, not walking the wire the way you're meant to walk the wire. But I'd say, it's okay, I'm going to go home and rest and I'll come back tomorrow morning and it'll be better. And I'd come back and I was absolutely terrified. And I didn't want to do it at that point. I was like, what am I doing? What's wrong with me? But see, I started believing the lies that were coming in my head. What is wrong with you? Who do you think you are? You fell off that wire. Why do you think you can do this? You shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I committed. I have to do it. So I kept going back every day and practicing and you know, tears in the wire. Like, it was a lot. Very, you know, my brother and sister-in-law, my mom and dad, like different times under me and talking to them. It was really tough. And the training had gone on for probably a month, 6 weeks. And the time had come that we had to move to an even higher wire. It was 50 feet high. And, you know, I'm walking it. And I'm taking about 20, 25 minutes to get across it. And then one particular walk, I was walking and I realized that I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about dinner or something, what we're going to do for dinner. So because when you're a seasoned wire walker, you get too comfortable sometimes where you have to be like, no, get back to it. Because you start thinking about dinner that night or, you know, whatever that is. But I was like, oh my goodness, my mind is wandering. Oh my goodness. And I just remembered at that moment that, why am I so scared of this? I love the way my foot feels sliding across the wire. And I love the weight of the balancing pole in my hand. And tears were streaming down my face because it was such an emotional moment. And I walked into the platform and there was a rigger up there and he goes, what's wrong? And this is honest to God truth. I have no idea where this came from. I blurted out, I forgot who I was. Like, I never thought any of that through, but it was such a true statement because I do come from a long line of wire walkers. You know, people do refer to my family as circus royalty, right? With humbleness, I say that. But I'm a very good wire walker. I've walked the wire before I can remember, you know, and I forgot that. And it was such a powerful moment. Like, that was my breaking point. That was when I knew I was ready for Times Square. I just think it's such a, it applies to so many walks of life. It's not about the wire. It's about those pieces of you that are stripped away in trauma, you know, those pieces of you and those lies that come in your head. You know, if you're going through a divorce or losing a job or whatever it is, a lot of people lose that confidence. You know, they lose that. The sense of who they are and what they were born to do. And what a tragedy if I gave in to that and said, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Everyone would have been fine with it. I had every reason in the world to stop walking the wire. Yeah. But for me, that would have been a tragedy because I wouldn't have had that experience over Times Square, you know, which was just incredible. I wouldn't have go back to my passion. So that to me was an amazing, amazing moment.
Yeah. You know, 6 weeks of training and terrified every step of it.
Yeah.
But pushed through it.
Yeah. And it was taking about 20, 25 minutes to get across that wire. My time was cut in half after that. I was doing about 10 to 12 minutes to get across. It was amazing.
Yeah. And it shows when we come up with some of these adversities that people go through in their lives, you know, we get a choice. You know, we can either allow it to define who we become or we can push through it and become a better version of ourselves.
Exactly.
So do you feel like you are a better wire walker now that you've gone through an experience like this?
I don't know if I would say better. I would say there is that, you know, that fear isn't one and done. That fear does kind of come back sometimes. And I have to remind myself, you know, because it's sort of like you're scarred from it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd say better, but you know, I'm proud of what I've accomplished. I can say I know how hard it was to get back to that. I know how hard. Even this summer, I went and joined my brother on the wire, and I was like, why am I in my head? And it took me a little bit to remind myself, no, I'm fine. Because we've done this our whole life. We'll fly across country and jump on a high wire, not without any training. You know, it's interesting. It's like, I have to remind myself that, oh no, I've broken through this already. You know, I've broken through this fear. It's a journey still, right?
Yeah. Always a journey.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I think it's such a beautiful story to see that you come full circle, like overcoming that fear and realizing that if you were to give into it, that you're saying no to your purpose, right? To your passion. And it all happens again on the wire for you, right? Like where it all began in terms of what initiated this journey for you. It happens up there with you all by yourself in that moment. Which is often where we find it, right? It's like when we take those moments to sit with ourselves and wherever you turn to, right? If it's God, universe, spirit, he, she, whatever, wherever you turn, like being in that space and realizing like this is me, this is my journey and I have the choice. at this moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think I know I learned that I'm so much stronger than I ever knew, right? If someone told me I was going to go through this accident and then come back and do the biggest, longest walk of my career to date, I don't think I'd get past the accident, right? Like that was just, but when you're in it, you just keep going. You keep pushing. You got to keep going. You got to keep moving, you know? So I think that that's sort of empowering, realizing that you're stronger than you know. You can get through anything, you know? And I think we all are. We're all stronger than we realize.
We just have to believe in ourselves.
Believe in ourselves and make that choice to keep pushing through.
And make that choice to keep pushing through. Yeah. And you had a tribe of people. You had your family that was there every step of it, never pushing you, allowing you to you know, walk your own journey and go back at your own speed. And like you said, if you had told them I'm done wire walking, they would have
said, okay. Yeah.
I'm like, 100%. Of course you can. But they've never pushed you in your life. So
yeah.
Oh my God.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Talk to us about Times Square. I mean, this was like all leading up. This is all in the training. This is all in the preparation and all for the performance, right? Because this is the thing, you're training for Times Square. Take us to that moment because this was televised. What did that feel like?
Yeah. So let's see, Times Square. That day I had overdone it in New York. I was walking around to what you were trying doing last minute changes to my costume. And that heel that I broke at the accident was really bothering me. It was really hurting. So I was like, okay, that's okay. I can get through this. It's all right. So, you know, there was that. Didn't look off the edge of the building. Times Square, where I started the walk is where the ball drops, the apple drops every year at New Year. So that's where I was. Didn't look off the edge till the moment I was about to step on the wire. So, you know, I walk out to the edge and it's scary. It was the highest walk I'd ever do. I mean, the people, there were 200,000 people below us. They literally look like ants. I mean, it's incredible. When you're up high looking down, it looks way higher than when you're up when you're down looking up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see that and you think, you know, I thought, well, what am I doing? But it's a quick fleeting thought because I remind myself all the hours of training, you know, all the blood, sweat, and tears I had put in. And my whole life had led me to this moment, you know? Mm-hmm. So I took that first step and it was really, really scary. But I kept taking the steps. I took the next step and the next. And, you know, everything's accomplished one step at a time, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, 10, 20 steps in, it was a little less scary. Still, I was pretty cautious, but a little less scary. But the further I got out in the wire, it eventually was living, man. It was life for me. It was amazing. It was, you know, it's what me and my family live for, right? So it was amazing. And it's a view that only my brother and I will ever have, right? Looking down on Times Square from there, it was pretty incredible seeing the flashing lights of Broadway flashing up at you and all the people that came out to support me and my brother. Like, what an honor. Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. But you got to take that first step, because if you don't take that first step and let that fear grip you, you're never going to get across that wire. You know?
And what you fail to mention is that you went out halfway. You sat down, your brother stepped over you, then you got up and kept walking.
I think
people, it wasn't just this casual walk across the water.
Yeah.
It was like this humongous thing that happened. When I watched that video, I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I was a little in my head about standing up from sitting down. I had to switch up my technique a bit because we did have to wear safety equipment for Times Square because it was New York City and televised live and all. That safety equipment actually gets in our way. So I did change up the way I stood up off the wire. So I was a little in my head about it. No, I was a lot in my head about it. Yeah. But the day that we left from Florida to fly out to New York, I went out on the wire and I sat down and stood up 25 times, literally 25 times. I did it at a decline, at an incline, you know, in the center, it was more moving. Did all of that so that, you know, it gives me confidence for in the moment, you know? So even though I was nervous, I was like, no, I got this. I did this 25 times in every different condition possible. I have it, you know? And so I did it and I stood up and I remember I think I even said out loud, like, now it's all fun from here, you know? It was pretty great. I had some mix up with my safety line and it got kind of tangled on my pole. I had to unhook it. And it was my brother's bouncing pole slipped down his pants a little. And he was kind of, when he was like 1 foot over me and 1 foot behind me, like it was, it was a little tricky.
Yeah.
But we did it.
But you still had, you were able to find that moment of exhilaration, right? The thrill, the excitement, all of it came rushing back to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. I love that.
And I I love what you said about you just practiced and practiced and practiced. Like you knew you were going to do something that you weren't super comfortable doing, the sitting down and standing up, because it was going to be a little bit different. And you put that time in. And I think a lot of resilience has to do with the work that's done before. Yeah.
The priming. The priming that takes place. You have to.
And you did it. And that allowed you to have the mindset that you're like, I got this. I did it 25 times. Like I,
exactly. That's kind of what you fall back on in those moments.
Yeah, it's a muscle memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that story. Yeah. Are you still coaching Wire Walkers?
Not right now. Just my son once in a great while when he chooses to come out and practice. Okay. No, I'm training myself and, you know, performing here and there, but.
And I'd love to ask you, so you've got a son, so is he following in your footsteps with this or?
Well, he's 13. So during the quarantine, he would go back out on the wire every day and walk, and he became a good wire walker. He kind of got the bug bit of when he saw the Times Square walk. He saw the tension of all the cameras in the crowd. Yeah. And he became a pretty good little wire walker, but he's 13 now and he doesn't want to do what mom does right now. He's a little in that rebellious age. You know? So I don't push him, you know, if he wants to come back to it, I'm there and I'll help him and I'll train him really good. Make sure he's safe up there. So who knows? It's all what he's going to end up wanting to do. I want him to be happy in life. So, you know, whatever he chooses.
I love it.
You could have stopped the sentence that he's 13. We get it.
Yeah, we would have been like, oh, we get it.
Oh, he just turned 13. Oh, man. We've got kids walking across Times Square, let me tell you.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, exactly.
There's no amount of preparation for that.
Well, I feel like you get two options with a teenager, and I only have girls and I have two adult girls. I don't know what it's like to raise teenage boys, but I can only imagine you get one of two extremes. It's like, I'll do it on my time, or I'm going to just train for Times Square, like right off the bat. Like that's where we're going to start. Oh, I love that.
So what's next for you? So you're still doing the wire walking, but you've got this incredible inspirational story right now. Yeah. And I know that you're wanting to share the story with people and hopefully motivate and create almost like a community for other people that have gone through, you know, difficult times.
Yeah, so, look, I feel like I've gone through all these hard things. I mean, and I've only told you a fraction of it, right? Every day, the recovery was really tough. But I don't want to just keep that to myself. I want to tell people what I went through, because if I can go through this, you can go through it too. You're stronger than you know. You're going to get through it. So I'm speaking to groups of people about that. I'm working on a book as well. So
do you have a name for the book?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. Okay. We're in the early stages of that. So.
Okay, we will watch. We will definitely watch for that. So
absolutely. Please keep us posted on the book. As soon as you launch, we would love to share it with our community and get that in their hands as well. Because as Pam mentioned, the story is beautiful, and for you to be able to have the courage and desire to share it, right? Like you figured out your purpose in life. You've been able to live in your true purpose. And now I think you've kind of uncovered a new one in what this next chapter of life looks like for you on this journey.
So. We're big proponents, and you know, everything that we go through in our life is meant to be shared, because somebody needs to hear it, because they may be going through it and may not have the support like what you had. You had your whole family that was there to support you, and not everybody has that. So that's a beautiful thing. I love it.
I love that so much. Oh my goodness. Well, and you know, I'm going to adopt the circus royalty phrase, because I think that it is absolutely appropriate. I mean, as you were talking, I'm just thinking, what profession out there do we have seven generations of that same profession? It's very limited, right? I think we can probably name them on a hand or maybe two. And then to actually have that. So, and to see the excitement now with your son on his time, when he would like to do it, whatever that would look like. I think that it is well-deserved. It is an appropriate term and descriptor for you. And it's beautiful what you guys have done. And I think, as you mentioned, there's so much more in your story. We didn't talk about the progression of your family coming to the U.S. and traveling and what that looks like. And there are layers of adversity, I'm sure, that they had to overcome just in that process during that time frame. Thank you to you and your family. Tremendous respect for all that you guys are doing and continuing to do in the lives that you're continuing to touch, especially in the world of performance. Like, that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. Thanks. Any final things that you would like to share with our listeners?
I think I kind of said it, you know, if you're going through something that sort of stripped some of your confidence away, you just need to really remember who you are, remember what you were born to do. And maybe, you know, maybe it's really scary. Maybe it's going to take you some time and some, you know, whatever that version of practice is, you know, I practice on the wire. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know. Give yourself the time. Don't be down on yourself. It takes you a while, but please keep pushing through and know that you're so much stronger than you know you are. And you can get through this. Don't forget who you are. You know, I always say, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you're born to be.
I love that. And where can people find you? So if people want to reach out, they want you to book you to speak, how can they follow you? Tell us, and we'll make sure we put it in the show notes so that people can reach out to you.
Yeah. So my website is thehighwireproject.com. It's the HIGHWIRE project.com.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can reach me through that.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. Don't forget who you are.
Yeah.
No, my gosh, that's powerful.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story. I know that was a difficult experience to live through again and to share it, but I know that you've inspired me, and I am sure you've inspired our listeners. And so I'm just truly grateful for you to be here with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Until next time, listeners, we will join you on another episode of Reignite Resilience. If you would like to get more Reignite Resilience, you can head over to ReigniteResilience.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter or even become part of our VIP community, and always reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram, the Reignite Resilience Podcast. We would love to connect with you, hear your stories and your feedback about these episodes. We look forward to seeing you all soon. Bye, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it, and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.